League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. You wanna be down with the
kids. Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And like this was a giant revelation, I guess, yesterday, was that the Texans revealed their plans with the number two overall pick to all the head coaching candidates. Well, of course they did. Of course they had to, right?
No.
What do you mean?
No, you
wanted them to know, if you come here, we're going to get a quarterback.
Well, you want the team.
Otherwise, you're not an attractive job at all.
Well, yeah, but I think you finesse it and you say, like, I'd be interested to see how it went, because I think you want to say, for like D'Amico, you say, I don't know, what do you think? What are your thoughts on what we should do? We have an opinion, but opinion.
They might have done that anyway.
If you're the head coach, your opinion's going to matter just as much as ours does, as ours do. So
they might have done that anyway, though.
Yeah, if they just say, well, this is what we're thinking right now. But, of course, if you take the head coaching job, I mean, it's completely up for debate because you need to see these players. That's how you do that.
Well, yeah, but here's the deal is, listen, as much as if you're the Texans, it's not like you're the 49ers. It's not like you're the Cowboys. It's not like if you're the Texans, you got to sell that guy, too. I mean, because all of these guys that they were interviewing are interviewing at other places, too. You have to be somewhat attractive to a head coach. I don't want to come here and be David Culley or Lovie Smith.
No, but the number two pick is yeah, I mean, you could ask that question. But here's the thing. D'Amico Ryans, for example, doesn't know the players in the draft yet. This is just the reality. Coaches, he just came off playoffs. Yeah. These guys work so hard. I had a dad who was a coach. I know this is the case. Now, he's going to know, like, a Bryce Young, because a lot of coaches will watch football on Saturdays.
Dude won the Heisman.
Yeah, no, he'll know, and he's from Alabama, and he'll know some of those guys.
Yeah.
But he's not going to know, he may not know Tyree Wilson, for example.
No.
He's probably not going to know anything about Tyree Wilson.
He doesn't have to know Tyree Wilson. There's zero chance you're getting Tyree
Wilson. And there's a good chance he knows Will Anderson and Jalen Carter, actually.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah, that's one of those things. But, but if D'Amico said, well, hold on a second. I want to go through the process and get through these guys, watch the tape. I think they would have been fine with it. They would have said, oh, yeah, you know, for sure. We don't want to make it. We don't want to tell you who you're drafting. But I'm sure D'Amico's just fine if the plan is. I tell you what is a little nerve-wracking. Okay, so did you get my text I sent you?
About the teeing it up?
Yeah.
I didn't get it. What was that?
I want you to look. Don't say it out loud. Just look at the text.
Yeah, I saw it. Okay. I saw it. I looked at it a couple times.
Name?
I didn't know who it was.
Well, why don't you look at the name at the top?
The name at the top. Uh-huh. That's where I was lost. I didn't. Oh yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah. So I'm just telling you now. I wish I had a ticket in Las Vegas for Texans trade up to one.
Yeah.
I wish I had been able to make that in January, because that prediction is coming true. The Texans are not going to get beat for Bryce Young. They are going to trade up.
Okay.
And because Jim Irsay came out like, hey, what about Bryce Young? Like, golly, at least you know where he's coming from.
I got it now.
Yeah.
So there's a story out this morning that several general managers are convinced the Bears are trading Justin Fields. Convinced the Bears are trading Justin Fields. and taking Bryce Young.
It's 100% possible.
It really is.
It's 100% possible because what it does is it resets your clock on rookie contracts. You're not sure if Bryce is
you're not sure if
Justin is developing as a passer, and he's gone 2 years, and then he's a heavy running quarterback who just had an injury issue, which is your big concern with quarterbacks who run that much.
You're not doing anything draft, any for the, anything
you,
for the next couple of years.
And you didn't draft him.
Right.
Ryan Poles didn't draft him. I could totally see that because I think in the big part is it's less about Justin Fields. Well, it is about who do you like more, but man, if you like him about equally, if you say I kind of like Justin, you've now reset your rookie clock.
Yep.
5 full years. You've set it
with a better passer.
With a better passer going back. Now, not as good a runner and not as big and potentially durable, but you've gone from 3 years left on rookie deal to 5 years left on a rookie deal.
It's dangerous in that, like we've been talking about, nobody his size has ever done it. And if he gets injured right away at 190 pounds, if he gets injured and is chronically injured. Now, he hasn't been at Alabama, and he's played Georgia, he's played Tennessee, he's played Florida, he's played all these big, deep, strong, fast defensive ends, and he hasn't been injured. He had the shoulder injury because he fell on it wrong, which happens to a lot of guys. That has happened. But it's not like he hasn't been durable for Alabama.
No, he has.
And you're facing the best competition in the country.
A shoulder, you just want to make sure they come back quickly, like it doesn't take him longer to come back from.
But he did. He did this year.
But let me also throw this one out there. I think the Chicago Bears want it out there. They've already said they don't even know who they are. They like everybody. They don't like anybody. Like the Chicago Bears, it also might make some sense for them to start planning that kind of stuff, too. Like, they plan on trading Justin Fields and drafting a quarterback. They might even say Bryce Young. They'll say a quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to generate, well, wait a minute, before you do that.
Right.
What if we offer this?
Right.
I think this could be to be out there. I think this could,
it
be,
could
smoke.
Be smoke. It
yeah,
absolutely
I think this could
be
smoke.
Smoke. I mean, it's a great move.
Ursay
couldn't have helped more with his comments, putting it out there that the Bears are for sure going to trade
the Texans,
Justin Fields.
The Texans are going to draft a quarterback. All that does is spike the Colts up, and maybe even a team like the Raiders or whoever. Like.
There is no
in a draft that didn't look like it had as much juice at the number one pick to trade out. It looks like it's gaining some traction because you're starting to create leverage.
There is no chance, right, that they trade the second and the 12th.
No, to move up, that would be a bad move. Well,
there is no chance.
Okay,
right?
I say that would be a bad move. You would be trading, let's say, Will Anderson and Joey Porter Jr. Cornerback out of, I'm just throwing, or Devin Weatherspoon or Joey Porter Jr., another cornerback, one from Illinois, one from Penn State. You know, what if I put names to it, I want to see what you think.
Okay. Put C.J. Stroud and put Musgrave.
Okay.
For Bryce Young.
I mean, I like it, but if you get your quarterback wrong, it sets you back.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, it sets you back a couple years.
Suppose Stroud is good.
Yeah, that's right. No, if Stroud is good, then that's fantastic.
It's terrible because
if
you trade it.
Yeah, unless your guy's good too. I mean, it's about getting the best quarterback, and you have to have conviction in your analysis and your evaluation. So ultimately, you rely on how you see him, and you're convicted with this guy's this much better or this guy's not that much better, whatever the case may be. Yeah, that's why the evaluations, we talk about – with trading back, gaining picks. It's all about – Ozzie Newsome was a great evaluator.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this thing about tanking and you got to get this pick.
So is Howie Roseman.
So is Howie Roseman. These guys aren't drafting the top five.
No.
And they're drafting pro bowlers and all pro players. And so it's so overrated where you draft. It's so unbelievably overrated. What matters is how you evaluate talent. That's what matters. And the Texans have never proven to me that they're great talent evaluators. I mean, Rick had some hits in the first round, not just hits, big hits.
Big hits.
But he had just major failings on day two, which didn't used to be called day two. It was just second round. But now day two, a second and third round, which is a very important day. I mean, that fills out starters.
Yeah.
And they weren't good with that at all. So Howie Roseman, he's been good with it. Landon Dickerson, for example, you know, is an example. That's a starter. They have, I mean, it's all over the place where you can find that. Jordan Mailata, the rugby player who's turned into a really good left tackle. They got him in the sixth or seventh round. Just picks all, and then smart, you know, Darius Slay, Hassan Reddick, smart free agents who actually they paid money to. I mean, they actually gave good money to these guys. They didn't just sit there and, you know, we're gonna be frugal with second wave, which I'm a fan of. They actually hit with their free agents. So I would be disappointed if you traded 2 and 12. To me, boy, you got to have a really high grade, unless you got it right. And if you get it right and you got a quarterback who's a top 8 quarterback in the league, then I have no problem with it.
All the era of good feelings would disappear. All the D'Amico.
No, not if you got, not if you, well, now you mean if he wasn't a player? Because if you get Bryce Young, people are still going to be excited.
The criticism for this organization
for
giving up the second and the 12th.
It doesn't matter what the criticism is. How do you end up? Because that goes away if you win. That goes away.
It's right here. Sparky, dumbass franchise.
Yeah, no. I mean, I know. That's you. They were a dumbass franchise. A lot of people thought when they drafted J.J. Watt. You take your credit. There's nothing you can do about it. The Eagles were stupid for not drafting Ricky Williams and drafting Donovan McNabb. You know, like Josh Allen. What a bunch of idiots. What a bunch of idiots. That's just going to be the case. You can't do anything about it until you play games. And if you get it right, that's more important than any criticism that you get. You have to have conviction to stand by what you believe and not be worried about if Sparky's going to call you a dumbass on Twitter.
Well,
Sparky's going to call you a dumbass and probably has multiple times.
Well, but is Sparky wrong?
I don't know. Well, let's let it play out. We can't grade a test that hasn't been taken. You got to let it play out. I don't know.
Oh, no. Well, absolutely, but...
I know. What I want to do is that typically... I'm going to look at the trade chart and see, because the trade chart doesn't really matter in certain years. Like, it's a fluid chart. It's not the be-all, end-all, but I'm going to see what the trade chart would say. Cause
what to does go from, moving up from 2 to 1, I mean, one guy off the board? And it's not like, and this is, and here's the deal, it's not like this is Andrew Luck. It's not like this is Peyton Manning.
Okay,
it's not like, this is Bryce Young, who is iffy, who has a player of his stature has never
succeeded. You know what it is? The trade chart is literally in the neighborhood of your first. It's not even actually your first second round pick. It would look like giving you pick number 47 on the trade chart. It would look like pick number 47, 46 in that neighborhood.
It would be a lot less harmful. It would be a lot softer blow if you had to give up pick 33.
So what would happen is you'd give up pick 33 and you would try to get the Bears' fourth round pick.
Yeah,
is what you try to do. You try to get pick number 102. They wouldn't give it to you because they need picks.
But if the Colts say take 4, because listen, 4 is still going to be a good player. We'll give you 4, and we'll give you next year's first rounder.
Or what if they said 4 and 35?
4 and 35 is not as good as 2 and 33.
No, if 2 and 33 is offered, they're taking it.
Yeah,
the Bears.
Well, not if they offer 4 and 1st next year's first.
Right. That's true. But they need, you know, I just wonder if Ryan Poles feels any pressure with
now
trying to get now. I mean, you shouldn't, and he is going to build for process. But you just never know with Chicago media, too. They get pretty fired up, and so do the fan base. And so, he didn't have a second round pick this year.
That would be one where I think the fan base would be, and the media would be like, hey, there's a lot of people that would go, hey, this is a great move. This is a team that needs a lot of stuff. They traded out. They still got a great player. They're going to get another great player. Justin Fields showed improvement. Just shut up. This is good.
Yeah, no, that's true. They don't have a second round pick this year.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind that they would get, basically, you would get, for example, with Houston. Well, with Houston, yeah. With Indianapolis, you get the 4th pick, which would probably, I would think, would guarantee you Carter or Anderson. So you'd get one of the top defensive players and maybe the top player on your entire board, but then you don't have a second-round pick this year, and you still need offensive line help. I mean, it's the smarter move is taking the first next year from the Colts. But that could easily turn into, if you get the right quarterback, that could turn into a pick in the 20s, which is better than a pick in the high 30s. Yeah,
better than 33.
Only it's just, you know, it's now versus later. Do you have the patience? I know Poles a little bit. He strikes me as a guy who has the patience. He is not a panicky.
No.
He is a very process-oriented.
But I got Art on my side. He agrees 100%. This is not Luck, Manning, or Lawrence.
No. No. Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the best quarterback in the draft. Bryce Young is definitely the best quarterback in the
draft. There are so many questions, though. So many questions.
There's only one question.
His size.
There's not so many questions. There's actually only one question.
Yeah. No. The other question is, well, yeah, his size. But nobody his size has ever done anything in the NFL.
Right. It's a big question.
It's a big question.
But there's not a lot of questions. That's the thing is, when you really break it down, there's not a lot of questions. It's just, you know, it's just the size. It hasn't happened. Once again, it hasn't happened since 2001 when Doug Flutie started. That's the last quarterback his size that made a start in the NFL. Unless we're counting that wide receiver from Denver who started during the COVID year.
No, we're not counting him.
Hinton or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Chris Hinton. Yeah, we're not counting him?
No, we're not. We're not counting the wide receiver
when three quarterbacks had COVID?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we're not counting him.
Okay, well, we don't count him, then Bryce Young is the smallest in 21 years.
Yes, and it's scary, to quite frankly, giving up what you're going to give up.
Can I ask you this
question?
It
might be a blessing in disguise that they're second. Can I ask you this question? And everybody's so pissed off, it might be a blessing in disguise.
Can I ask you this question? Do you remember who won the 1986 slam dunk contest?
Spud Webb. Thank you.
Do you remember who won the MVP and who had three home runs against the Boston Red Sox in the ALCS?
Eddie Goodell.
No, in 2017.
Oh, that would be Jose Altuve. Thank you. What about Eddie Goodell?
Yeah. Do you remember who drew a walk?
That's right. A little person.
A little person did. So let's see. I've got an MVP.
Do you remember who started for the Arizona Cardinals, a quarterback?
Yes. Yes. Do you remember who's right now number three in the world at Call of Duty? Kyler Murray.
Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Now, are you sure about that ranking?
Three in the world?
Yeah.
He could be two.
He could. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think anybody knows that. Where did you get this information?
Because it says Wee QB. That's the name.
Wee QB is his handle?
Yeah, Wee QB. Like a Wee guy?
Wee, yeah.
Wee QB is what it says. W-E-E-Q-B. I'm assuming that's who it is.
Yeah.
So.
Well, somebody could be posing as him. You don't know. I tell you what.
He's literally got a Kyler Murray emoji for his face. It's definitely him. He's number three in the world.
If you need a lawyer because somebody was posing as you and now you're not getting your money back, I got it for you. Carlos Silva's joining us right now. The Morley Law Firm is here for you. I don't care what you need a lawyer for. Carlos Silva and the Morley Law Firm going to help you out. What up, Carlos?
How are you?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
Well, we're doing everything over here on the legal side. If you need a criminal lawyer, immigration lawyer, medical malpractice, any type of legal problem, call us. We find solutions for your problems.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the experience that they have and all the different services that they offer, Carlos. I don't know that there's a law firm that's as diverse as this one.
Well, you know, even if they're as diverse, we find solutions. Just give us a call at the Morley Law.
Make the call, Morley Law. 713-839-9955. 713-839-9955. Carlos Silva is here. You may even meet, right, Carlos? If they call in, you could be part of the deal.
That's absolutely correct. I can do the intake process. I can help them out with whatever they need.
Whatever you need, Carlos Silva is here for you. Carlos Silva and the Morley Law from 713-839-9955 or Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com. Thanks, Carlos.
Thanks, John. See you, Lance.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got some thoughts on this? You're more than welcome to get in here. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Rockets lose again.
It was not bad, though. Like, there's moral victory. Is there a moral victory Thursday?
Okay, you lost Jaylen. You lost Jayshon.
Yeah.
You lost by 40, whatever. I turned it on in the second quarter, and I went, I don't have to be here anymore.
I was out at 132.92. I was out. I don't even know what the final ended up being, but I don't care. I just didn't see them coming back from 40. 92.
I was in the second. It was 64 to 40.
Hold on. I had been Yellowstoning as well.
133.96. Oh, my God. A 37-point loss to that team.
Yeah. I had been Yellowstoning the entire time, too, back and forth.
So. Well, I wasn't. Yeah, Jalen Green, I turned it on, and I said, oh, I don't need to be here anymore.
On the very first day that Jalen Green's – and this is – you're going to think this is a joke or I'm making fun of him, and I'm not. But on the very first day that his new advertising deal with the nail polish company comes out, he ends up injuring his groin and being out for a certain amount of time.
You're making fun.
No, I'm not.
I saw his nails. I saw the ad.
Yeah.
I don't have any words for this, really. It's very rare when I'm speechless, because this is what we do for a living, that we talk. But when I saw the ad for his nails, nail polish company.
Jalen Green said, secrets out. Our squad is growing. Welcome to the family. Lacquer or something. I don't know what the – I just see the name. And his nails are painted black, and then there's like a skull and crossbones on it, like something you might get at a nail salon. You know, you got little – like somebody who does that, you know, a specialty item.
Yeah,
and so
right.
So Jalen's got
usually if you're a girl, right?
I don't know.
Historically?
No.
Historically,
no,
yes.
No, millennial and Gen Z do things different.
Well, especially Gen Z. Even still, my
son Mason. Listen,
let me ask you this. Do the majority of people who get their nails polished, are they male or are they female?
Majority would be female.
Okay.
But now
vast majority.
Okay, quid pro quo. My turn. Do these nails give him better vibes?
Well, vibes with a... Because I've seen vibes with a Z now.
Yep.
Is it vibes with a Z?
It's either one you want.
Yeah, I think he has better... I don't know.
He does. Look at this picture. These are vibes.
I see the picture.
Yep.
Okay. I see the bling.
All right, your turn. Ask me a question now.
Okay. Have you ever seen an athlete do nail polish commercials before?
Okay.
A male athlete.
Sure, no problem. Well, before they were actually smart at making money on it, Dennis Rodman was out there putting nail polish on every second he could. And you know who else did the other day? It's like I think Chris Long has for when he was in the NFL as well.
Chris Long did nail polish?
Not commercials. But put it on. Usually it's more toenail. Usually it's toenail stuff.
Ooh.
I saw it when I was at the offensive line retreat, Duke's offensive line retreat, offensive lineman who had it on there.
Mm.
Yeah. This is a different, Scoob. Yeah. This is a different generation, Scoob.
Wait, so.
No. He's not the first athlete I've seen with nail polish. Now, first of all, Dennis Rodman did it first. Now, he was the first. I had never seen anyone before that, unless you were clear nail polish because you were a knuckleball pitcher.
Is there anything you as a person would like to emulate Dennis Rodman for? Is there anything? Other than rebounds.
You took that away. Young Madonna. Younger Madonna.
Even if you knew what she was going to become?
Yeah, back then,
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Or also Carmen Electra.
Yeah, no.
A tenacious ability to get on the floor after the ball and hustle.
I'd love to emulate.
I mean, I didn't do it, but I would have loved to have emulated his defense and being able to guard multiple positions.
Yeah.
You know, now the stuff off the court, I run out of things pretty quick that I want to emulate.
I don't know where this turned. For athletes, I just don't know.
It has, so you don't need to fight.
No, I don't.
I can tell you, my
sons.
Listen,
Joe Namath wore pantyhose.
Yeah, that was
back in the day.
In the late 60s, early
70s.
Yeah, that was a huge deal.
It was
and
huge.
A fur coat.
Everybody talked
now,
about
it. Now, pimps were wearing fur coats. You could see fur coats at Ali versus Frazier. You could see fur coats there. There were guys wearing fur coats. But, yeah, the pantyhose thing was like, now what now? That was a bold move in the early 70s. Although, in a way, coming off the late 60s into the early 70s, if you know history, there was a time of, like, It was a much more progressive time than people actually realized.
No.
With the Free Love era, racially, things were beginning to go on a really good, like, actually, the 60s and through most of the 70s was a way better time than it is now.
It was a love era. There's no question. You had, it was, it was a big, maybe the biggest turn in history.
Oh, maybe 100%.
Cultural turn in history.
Cultural shift was it was unbelievable.
From the 60s, the tied up, the buttoned up, all of that look to Free Love, hair, the clothes, everything.
I think the personalities, the ideas,
drugs that flew. It was a huge cultural turn.
Yeah.
Huge.
So actually, Joe Namath, had he done that at Alabama while he was for the Crimson Tide quarterback under Bear Bryant?
No, he was a different guy.
He would have got in a major trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would have been in major
New
trouble.
York
may
Joe.
Not have made it out of Alabama.
No. Broadway Joe was way different.
But I just say this. It's my sons who are 14 and 16. This came up yesterday, and they're like, what's the big deal? Who cares? Who cares if he's wearing that? What difference does that make in who he is? And then Mason goes, Mason was kind of joking. You're just being homophobic. I said, no, I'm not being homophobic. What I'm being is, it's just this. I don't know how to explain it to him. This is something that it just feels like to me. It may be unfair, but this deal with, it could be any advertiser, but then a nail polish company matters more than defending, on the perimeter. It's like, I honestly don't feel like the Rockets really care that much about winning. And I know you can say, of course they don't, Lance, they're tanking. Yeah, if they tried hard, I don't think they would care that much about winning. I don't think they know how to be
the players. The players aren't tanking. The players are actually out there trying every night. The players want to win. It's other people, apparently decisions that are being made. I don't even know if it's this. It's conscious decisions, if you want to know the truth.
At this point,
I think they just don't know. They don't know how to win. When you lose like that yesterday, are you kidding me? That is that's not tanking.
You're embarrassing
that
the city.
That is a giant ball of suck is what that is.
Well, I think saying they're tanking for a lot of people has become a coping mechanism because you don't have to deal with.
No, right.
I mean, if the alternative is they're a really bad team and they're not really getting any better, that's not a great feel. So I think for a lot of Rocket fans, you just say, they're just tanking. And you've got plausible deniability because sometimes the way they lose and things like that, you don't have to feel bad about it. You say, okay, everything's going to be fine next year. It's a process. Well,
yeah,
I would say,
is everything going to be fine next year?
No, I don't know, because I would just tell you that I've seen teams get better along the way, like they're starting to show signs. The Rockets are showing no signs, and I get that they, whether they're 1, 2, or 3, they're going to have the same odds of getting of getting Wembanyama. And I think Scoot Henderson, even if you don't get Wembanyama, I think Scoot Henderson is a big part of this. But I think a lot of Rockets fans just say they're just tanking. That's fine because
it
makes you feel better. It's a coping mechanism, and you don't feel as bad if you think that. It's just like when you blame one person on a baseball team or a basketball or football team or a coach.
Play calling.
You just know
right.
It makes you feel like, okay, if we get a different coordinator, everything will be fine. When the reality is, it's more complex than that.
I heard TCU's offensive coordinator was already out the door, and that's why they lost to Georgia.
Yeah,
63-7.
It wasn't that Georgia was substantially better.
No,
or full of pro prospects, or just playing those kind of games and have more dog in them, and frankly, are just way more talent. It's not that; it's the coordinator.
The coordinator didn't care.
Yeah, that was
he was out the
how
door.
How can you win?
Out the door. Speaking of coordinators, Kevin Sumlin took the co-coordinator, not coordinator, co-coordinator job at Maryland. I was like,
are we not at USFL in it
for
anymore?
Like $450,000?
Are we not XFL in it?
He's not USFL in it. Apparently not. He's at Maryland now. So,
I feel like they're a more stable job than USFL head coach.
Yeah, probably.
I'm being honest,
and probably more money. $450,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. All right. Give me the VIN.com is what I'm talking about now. You want to talk about more money? How about more money in your pocket because you sold your car to John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVIN.com? It's awesome. It's an awesome experience. He's the best. You are going to love doing business with John Clay Wolf because he's going to give you more money. It's actually pretty simple, too. You go to the website. You put in some information. You put in the VIN number or the license plate number. The VIN number is so long and drawn out. Forget that. Just put the license plate number in. That's the way to go about this thing. If you're looking for the best way to sell that car, John Clay Wolf is here for you. He has been doing this for so long. He is great at it. You can hear his show in just a couple of days. Just about 50 hours from now, you're going to be hearing John Clay Wolf on these airways saying stuff that you're like, not sure you should have said that. Not sure that's still legal to say. But I'm not sure he says anything illegal, just culturally illegal. He says a lot of that. So if you're looking for a great way to sell your car and hear somebody say stuff that you're like, then it's John Clay Wolf. He's the man for you. All you got to do is go to givemethevin.com. That's givemethevin.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, John Daspit wants you to know that he is going to fight that fight for you. He hates bullies, hates them, and he hates when insurance companies especially are the biggest bullies, because what happens is insurance companies get their lawyers, and their entire thing is to reach out to you and make you think that you're going to get a really good settlement, and they make you believe, oh, isn't this great? We're going to take care of this, this, and this. And what happens is there becomes ancillary bills that they don't take care of. And then you have physical therapy. Well, that's not taken care of. You don't even know you have to go through physical therapy until later on. Or they don't even want to give you anything that they'll lowball you on pain and suffering stuff, which, listen, you shouldn't feel guilty about that. If you've been injured and you've been hurt, this is something that wouldn't happen if someone else wasn't negligent. And there is something about your quality of life that matters. There is a price tag for that. And the insurance company thinks, they believe you don't know any better. And John Daspit says, absolutely, my client, we're going to fight for my client. And if he has to go to court, he'll go to court. But most of the time, he fights back so strongly that they are making much more aggressive settlement offers and taking care of you. He wants to be that one who fights back the bullies for you, passionately pursuing justice, and he's been doing it for years now. Really, really talented. 713-322-HURT is his phone number, 713-322-HURT. Or just go to the website, learn more about him, see the video of John talking, although his hair's a little different now. I like to slick that back hair more. That's at Daspit Law, DASPIT Law.com.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 713-780-3776. You want to get in? You got 2.5 hours to get in here, so let's go. Well, not 2.5, because news of the weird, you're not getting in. And Kelly Iko is going to join us. What time? 9 o'clock. Kelly Iko is joining us at 9 o'clock, so you better hurry and get in. It's almost it's 7.
Got a guy 7, coming on tomorrow. 34. I'm excited about Kevin Powell. You may recognize that name. He was on the Real World, Real World 1. He's actually doing a residency here at Prairie View A&M. But the old MTV show that really started reality television, Real World 1.
So he's
He's been a writer. Yeah. Well, they did it, and it was really cool because it was like you got to see, and it was when everyone started realizing, hey, I can be famous, and that's where all the chodes popped up. But he's doing a book signing tomorrow at he's got a book of poems that he's doing tomorrow here in Houston. But he's lit right now. I think he's here doing a residency at Prairie View A&M. And he's been I think he wrote for Slam Magazine, I believe. Like he's got a basketball writer's background. He's a sports fan as well. So want to help promote what he's doing tomorrow and ask him some just cultural basketball questions. I think there's some things about where we've come from, in the Jordan era, the LeBron era. I think there's some interesting conversations to have with him, because like I said, he's a really talented writer as well. So he's going to be tomorrow. I'm going to line that up. Kelly Iko is going to tell you why this Rockets team is headed in a great direction. RJ, you brought up some stuff about Jabari Smith that was, I don't want to say unsettling, but that's the one guy I don't want to get ruined.
Kelvin Sampson actually said it.
About Jabari Smith?
Kelvin Sampson. Wow. Steven Silas actually said it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Steven Silas actually had this. Well, the Jabari Smith, first of all, the draft night, that's one thing. But how about how Steven Silas is really trying to get this rookie involved? He's trying to get him confidence. He's trying to work him so that he's maximizing his talent.
Oh, good.
Here's Steven Silas on. Oh, we don't have sound? Oh, I thought we had the sound of it. Steven Salas says he never runs a play for Jabari Smith.
Are you surprised watching games? He doesn't look like he runs any plays. He's a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. What plays are you going to run for him?
I don't know. Set a pick for him. I don't know.
He's not really good off the dribble.
Well, set a pick to open to get him open. I don't know. How about a lob to him? He's a tall guy, I think. I'm pretty sure he could catch a lob and dunk. Anything. How about, I mean, this is supposed to be a corner. He's a third overall pick. Supposed to be a cornerstone for you. And you do nothing to help him get open or anything?
If this were a different time in basketball, this is one of the unfortunate things, is there's such a strong adherence to math, and three is greater than two, that Jabari Smith, and he wasn't just a three-point shooter in college, but Jabari Smith, I would love to see Jabari Smith catch an extended post where he's in the mid-range, and you throw the pass down to him, and then you let him operate from there. Maybe square somebody up, face somebody up, and try to take them off a dribble. Maybe back them down. He's 6'11 or 6'10 with long arms. Like, he gets up over people. You're losing by 40. What do you care? Go post him up. Well, we don't want to post him up. Everyone tells me you're trying to lose, just post him up. Let's see what he does.
To me, this is the laziest. It appears to be the laziest. It's just, okay, I'm going to beat my guy. That's it. I'm going to go one. I'm going to go iso. It's not really isolation anymore either. We don't clear it out anymore. I've got to beat my guy, and that's going to be. And everybody else just stand around.
Well, yeah.
And hopefully somebody will come off of you, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'll dish it to you. Well,
a James model too.
Yeah.
I think it's the laziest time.
I think it's the laziest time ever in basketball.
Yeah, you're not just saying Rockets.
No, ever. Ever.
Yeah, for a lot of teams. For a lot of teams. So, but they found that it's the most efficient. Because one guy can beat, and then if that one guy, if you catch any defense, the three-point shooting is better now than it has been in the past. So they found that this is the most efficient. Problem is, it's just not great basketball.
Boring.
Yeah, it's just really not. Like, this should be, you would think scores 135 to 126 would be like, oh my God, no. Did you see that game? And that's not happening at all. And the reason's simple. Some of the top players don't play. There is no really... You're not seeing intensity. You're seeing points, but you're not seeing intensity.
Any physicality.
Do you try to win? Like, how many games do you think the Astros have tried to win in spring training?
Have tried to win in spring training? No, they just go up. They're getting they're practicing is
okay.
All they're doing.
So, do pitchers, are they trying to get everyone out?
No.
Okay, what are they doing, John?
They're working on pitches.
Okay, so right now, if you're tanking, which everyone believes you're tanking, and I'm sure the Rockets at this point, upper management doesn't want to win. And let's face it, you're this far in. I'm sure Rafael Stone has no interest in winning. He wants to get Wembanyama because that's a guy who's a job saver, potentially.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't doubt that they're fine with losing. But if this is going to be spring training for you, for the Rockets, and you don't care about winning, work on things.
Work on things, yeah.
Pitchers are working on curveballs. They're working on a new, a circle change, whatever the case may be. Work on things. Work on, like Steven Silas, hey, you know what? Let's get some things going for Jabari Smith. Let's see what happens if we post him. Let's see what happens if we run him with, pick and rolls, pick and pops. Let's do some different things. Quit running your off. Just implement some things and work on things. If this is not going to be about winning, and it's clearly not, whether you like it or not, whether you try to or not, you're not going to win. Why don't you work on things? Just like... So you might say, hey, you know what? We had no idea. One of the things we found late in the season, can you imagine an interview with Rafael Stone? You know, one of the things we found late in the season is KJ Martin, when we really focused on him, when he had an isolation on the high screen and roll at the free throw line extended, and then we had, a player up at the top, we did something a little different that we saw the Utah Jazz doing, and we tried that. And KJ Martin really had a lot of success on that, and we were able to get the ball to Jalen Green in a spot where he's better from a three-point standpoint. I would love to hear something like that. Well, we picked something up that we saw Washington doing, and we tried that with Şengün, and that was something that we did not expect to have such success. I would love it if they were working on different things, but it doesn't sound like they're working on anything. It's just take your ass whooping and move on to the next
one. That's what we do.
Get your nail polish deal, take your ass whooping, and move on to the next one, and hope and pray that you get a 7'4" player from France. Hope and play hope and pray that the 7'4" guy for France comes, because if not, you're just stuck with nail polish ads and injuries and bad defense and erratic shooting and no veterans. I mean, it's just that not, it's just, it's getting tired talking about the same thing, but it's really frustrating. And it's not like they can do anything about it right now. Like, I'm sure if Rafael Stone were listening, like, what do you want us to do right now? Well, no, you can't do anything right now.
Yeah.
You have to wait for the, but I still wish you didn't lose by 40.
We can do
better
nail
than
polish
this.
Ads though.
Yeah.
We can do that.
This is going to be, there's going to be a distinct line drawn in the sand where you'll have an under 30 year old who says, what do you get off the lawn guys talking about now? And you'll have people who are going to be a lot of them 40 plus who say, what are we doing here? Losing by 40 and you just care about Instagram nail polish. Wait, what now?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
God bless. Get all the ads you can. Okay.
But just win. Just start winning some games.
Be better.
Just get better.
They suck. I mean, that was Oklahoma City last night. Goodness gracious. It was impossible to watch 10 minutes of that last night. That's the worst thing.
It really looks like
they've
checked
out. Of all of the things that you say about a team, unwatchable is the worst.
You know my son said? I disagree with my son Mason probably more than any person I've ever disagreed with about sports and anything. He says things that I'm like, oh my God, I have not done a good job. His whole thing was, and he said this before about other players, he just said, it's just time to just rest Jalen Green. Just let him sit out the rest of the year. I said, why? When he's healthy, he should come back and play. For what? He might get injured worse. That's the worst excuse. I always hear people say that.
No.
He might get injured worse. No, the whole point of being out is you rehab, you get better, and when you're ready to come back, you come back. Why would you?
No,
he's a
now
guy
they don't feel like there's any value.
There's no
in
value
playing,
in, playing.
In playing.
And I said, Mason, he's not good enough. Ugh. You play and you get better. For what?
To get better.
Just let him rest, though. I said, just let him rest. This is his job. He gets a paycheck. He doesn't have to do anything in the summer. He doesn't play games in the summer. Trust me, he's not even going to play games in the late spring. So you 100% don't have to worry about playoffs.
Now they play.
In
they play.
Summer,
they play a lot in the
August.
Summer.
That's fine, but
yeah,
he's not playing.
Not for
your paycheck.
Our consumption, yeah.
And this is for your paycheck. And right. Coaches don't just, you know what, Steven Silas, just sit this one out. I just don't want you to get hurt more mentally. No, you got to finish your. You got a job. You got a paycheck. The idea that, well, let's just sit it out. And I said, well, Mason, I think that'd be fine if you don't get to collect your paycheck. But if somebody's paying you to do your job, why would you just say let him just sit it out? What's to gain? Well, but he has a job. This is his contract is to play. People with season tickets want to see Jalen Green play. He's exciting. He's going to have flashy plays. People in road games. They don't really want to see the Rockets, but they may want to see Jalen Green, who had 41 the other night. Like the idea that we'll just sit it out, and then you make the excuse, well, he could get hurt even worse. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to have a career-ending injury? They're not shooting him up, and like he rehabs and then comes back. I just, the idea, and I think it's becoming a prevailing idea with some sports fans, is just, well, just let Jalen Green sit it out. This guy needs to play. He needs to get better. How's he getting better sitting it
no,
out?
No. Well, that's this.
I know.
It's just now 7:44 ESPN. It's inexplicable.
And I just didn't. I tried to explain to Mason. I'm like, Mason, he's got to. He needs reps.
Mm-hmm.
Like he needs to play.
Not rest. Reps.
Reps. And not only that, but he is contracted to.
The owner's paying you multi-millions of dollars. People come to see. They want to see that guy play.
And the tickets, by the way, for Rockets game are not inexpensive.
No, they're not. And they want to see. The reason is because he sold those tickets because of the excitement about him. He sold those tickets, and people want to go to see him play. You're right. It's his job. Apparently, that doesn't matter anymore. Being your job doesn't matter anymore. Time to talk about. I'll tell you the job that these people do is Houston Powder Coaters. They're unbelievable. I was so impressed. They've got three gigantic ovens. One that's probably I don't know if it's the biggest oven, powder coating oven in the city, but it is huge. It is unbelievable. But they are so good. They are so detailed. When they are getting your stuff ready to be powder coated with the sanding and the care and the priming, the prepping, all of it, it is unbelievable how conscientious they are and how good they are at what they do. This is, it's the biggest, it's the best. 20 years of business experience, 5-star customer service, great Google reviews. If you've got patio furniture, hardware, straps, slings, repairs, car parts, wheels, lift kits, bumpers, whatever it is that's old and faded, rusted, whatever it is, you got hundreds of colors in stock to choose from, as well as special order options. If it's unique and you love it and you want to keep it, trust me, go see how much patio furniture costs now. Houston Powder Coaters is going to save yours. HoustonPowderCoaters.com, 281-676-3888, 281-676-3888. Houston Powder Coaters will pick up. They'll deliver it back to you. They will do it all. They'll make it look perfect. It's HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, let's talk about tequila. Tequila Friday's coming up, but it could be a Tequila Thursday for me. Depends on how I'm feeling this afternoon when I start finishing, when I get to my fourth prospect of the day and writing these draft prospects. I always like to take a little look into my refrigerator and bust out the Añejo. Although I've got the what's my other one I have in there right now? I've got the Silver in there, and Silver's great for cocktails, great for margaritas. I prefer the Añejo to sip. I also like the Reposado. For you, it may be different. Maybe you like the Cristalino, which is extremely smooth with just a little hint of sweetness right at the end. I can tell you this, with all the different tequilas they have, you are going to you're going to find a flavor profile that you really love. And that's the real key, finding a tequila that really makes the right sense for you from a sipping standpoint or even from a cocktail standpoint. It's going to be Maestro de Bossa. It's a top-shelf tequila without a top-shelf price tag. And it is great quality, 11 generations of tequila makers, and it's a monster tequila in Mexico, and it's really starting to migrate and get much bigger here in the Texas area as well. Wherever fine liquors are sold or at your local restaurant, if they don't carry it, ask for it by name, Maestro de Bossa.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's the exact quote from Stephen Silas. He's young and trying to find his way. Jabari has grit and toughness and tries defensively, and he's not given much at all. I don't run any plays for Jabari. That was Stephen Silas.
That's just not a surprise to me, though. He really is a lot like Robert Horry, where he's turned into a catch and shoot. He's a defender, defends multiple positions. You're relied on to rebound. We're not going to run anything from you or through you. I mean, it's alarmingly similar to how the Rockets used Horry.
Yeah, but listen, Robert Horry had I would argue that there were plays run from when Robert Horry is on the Dream side. When he gets the ball down low to Dream, it's very likely that it's a play for Robert Horry because he's going to get an open three.
Well, but that's a kick. It's always Dream's decision.
Yes, right.
He's going to kick it. It's just you don't have low. You're not posting low all the time like that anymore. So it comes off if Jalen goes high screen and kicks it out, or KPJ when he's playing. You know, it's the same thing. You get the scraps that come out. PJ Tucker, you never ran anything for PJ Tucker. It's really no different than PJ Tucker. Hit your corner threes.
Yeah.
You didn't. Like, yeah. I know Jabari's a better player.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as a rookie, I don't think they're rushing it.
I don't want you running Jabari the way you ran PJ Tucker. That's a whole different deal. That's a whole different player.
Is it?
Yeah.
What is Jabari?
Well, Jabari's
a three-point shooter. He was a good three-point shooter coming out, over 40%. Jabari's a spot-up three-point shooter. He's not great off the dribble, and he's not a creator. He's a rebounder. He's a shot blocker, which PJ can't be a shot blocker, but he was a rebounder. And he's a defensive guy who can play multiple positions. That's who Jabari is. Jabari's not a plus offensive player.
He's supposed to be. He's supposed to be a pure shooter. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's a shooter.
He's not. And
he needs to get better. He needs to get better.
He needs to get better as a shooter.
That's not. I mean, he went from the college three to the pro three. It's understandable.
No, it's understandable.
I think he's going to get a lot better as a shooter. He's a really pure stroke.
Well, okay, but
he's not a.
One of the more disappointing things, though, about Jabari is this. RJ, tell the story.
All right, so in an article written by Mark J. Spears of ESPN, he wrote this for Anscape.com, basically giving like a write-up on Jabari Smith, how he'll be in the All-Star festivities and everything like that. But a very interesting quote that came about during his draft day where he says, his father says, talking to Mark J. Spears, so they called Chet Holmgren's name and he lost it. His leg went to shaking. I looked at him. He's almost in tears. And I forgot that he told me OKC promised to draft him if he went number two in the draft. So I had to keep my mouth shut on that. I talked to him and I said, hey, what are you doing? Straighten your face. You're good. You know the camera was right at the table. Basically
I think that's a competitive thing. I think that's an ego thing where I don't want to fall to three. I don't want to be known as the third best guy when everyone's been talking about me being number one, number one, number one. I don't want to be looked at. I just think that's a competitive thing. I don't think it's – who would want – does this sound plausible, John? Have you spent any time in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, my daughter lives there.
That's what I thought. Who would ever say, God, man, I just want to go to Oklahoma City instead of Houston and live there?
I don't know about live there, but play for that team as opposed to the Rockets.
That wasn't a good team.
No.
There's nothing good about Oklahoma City. Houston, I would imagine, would have been more attractive with Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. for a player.
For Jabari.
But I don't think it was about the Rockets so much as it was about he.
It could well.
It's a contest with Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
You know?
It could well be.
Like, I don't want to be.
But wouldn't you rather end up on a better city and a better team? Would you be that disappointed if? You would think that he would have been happy. Oh, cool. I don't have to go to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
You would think, but he wasn't.
I bet it set in for him. Because look what he's doing now. I mean, he has no plays run through him. He loses by 40. You know, one of his teammates just got a nail polish deal. What?
Do you think he's disappointed he didn't get a nail polish
deal? No, I think he gets a hookup.
Oh. Well, now he's got a hookup for nail polish? Is that what you're saying?
We really shouldn't. I mean, he should be allowed to have a nail polish deal if he wants. That's fine.
No one said he can't have a nail polish deal.
Yeah, I know. I just feel do we care? I just want to know that it matters when you lose because I don't see anyone get pissed off.
No.
Steven Silas goes over and sees the other coach and smiles, and they dap each other up. And Jabari's the only guy that looks like it irritates sometimes. And I know Jayshon Tate probably doesn't like losing.
Well, here's one more quote from his father when you're talking about Steven Silas not running plays for Jabari Smith. So he puts a lot of pressure on himself because he wants to be so great so bad. I want him to be able to enjoy himself for one time. He spent half of the rookie season trying to live up to the number three pick when you're the fifth, sixth option on the team. So that ain't been too fun. In this system, he ain't had anything drawn up for him. It's tough to live up to it when you're not in a position to live up to it.
That's okay. That's a dad. That's a dad, but it is pure honesty, and it's actually, I think, accurate. I mean, you the expectations for this kid, and especially when he sees what Banchero is doing over there.
It's got to be tough on him.
It's got to be really tough.
Because we started hearing it in summer league, and now there's a realization of who Jabari is and who Banchero is, and we're not going to have those conversations anymore. There's no one having, Banchero, Jabari, that was in the summer league. That ain't happening no more. We already know. One guy's this, and one guy's this. Yeah. And that's there's no reason to compare.
One guy's this because, and maybe in large part because of what his dad said. He's not even an option for this team.
Yeah, but
waste of the third pick.
He's not Banchero, though. Well, it's so early to say that. This is not a team. This is a really dysfunctional.
I think Steven Silas is wasting him. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, but this is so dysfunctional. Steven Silas needs to be gone.
Yeah.
And there needs to be roster changes, and let's see what happens when Jabari is in a more functional situation. This is a dysfunctional situation. It really is. You can just cope all you want with just, it's just tanking. No, it's a kind of a dysfunctional situation. And now a dad is popping up and talking, which is never great, by the way, for the team. Where was this? Where did this happen? Where was he? Is this just an article where he said this?
Yeah,
he was
interviewed? Just an article written by Mark J. Spears.
Yeah, I just, you know, to me, you like what he says is true. I think some of the pressure also comes from the dad. You want to know the truth. I saw the video of his dad yelling at him to defend and do this and that. I think his dad is one of those guys, a former player, who puts a lot of pressure on his son. And not in a bad way, in a way that, hey, I want you to defend some. I think a lot of the positives of his game, where he stays humble, he is aggressive, he is competitive, he looks to defend, it matters to him. I think that comes from Pops, and I think that's all good. At the same time, Pops could get in his ear and say, hey, why aren't you getting more, you know, plays called for you? And maybe he does need to. Once again, I understand the idea that you don't call plays for him because he's a spot-up shooter, but at the same time, it's like it's a spring training thing. Why not do some new things?
Yeah.
Just work on things. Let's see what Jabari's got. Let's make Jabari the focus in one of the games. Let's make him the focus
and see what happens.
Find new ways to get in the ball at different places on the court. I want to get – well, we need to get – who do you want to get in here first?
I want to get – right.
All right, we got three Rockets
I want
calls.
To get QC Kinetics in here.
Okay.
And then on the other side, we'll take Rockets calls. 713-780-3776.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what you guys have to say. QC Kinetics is – there's a lot of you out there who have knee issues, and it's because you've played ball for years. Pick up ball, maybe you played JUCO, some college ball, maybe you're a pro. Maybe you played overseas, or maybe you're just that weekend warrior. But when you start to wear down and your body starts to get sore, maybe you get arthritis. For a lot of people, it's just about, all right, I got to start taking the aspirin, or maybe I need to get a shot. Maybe I need to start talking about knee replacement surgery or hip replacement surgery. Did you know that you've got an opportunity to repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints? This is what's causing you the chronic pain. And when you are going with QC Kinetics, what they're doing is they're taking the body's natural healing powers, the biological therapies, and they were supercharging it and putting it back into the joint. And you start to see regeneration of lost tissue and restoration of damaged tissue. And this is why your chronic pain subsides, and subsides actually fairly quickly. For some people, they need two, sometimes three treatments. If you've got serious issues, you might go as many as four or five. But I'm telling you right now, it makes a major, major difference. It's QCKinetics.com. Three locations in the Houston area. You got the Sugar Land location and open up. So make sure you go to the website and check that out for yourself, QCKinetics.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.